Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Dr. John Van Boxmeer was practicing as a GP in Far North WA a few years back when he was inspired to change the face of kids' health education after watching some locals play with a tin can opposite his surgery. John went on to become the Young Australian of the Year for 2014. Congratulations on that award, John. Thank you for joining us in Open House. Share that story of what inspired you to fire up the Fair Game initiative.
Yeah, so I was working as a doctor. I finished my medical training here in Perth and then I moved up to the Pilbara region. I was working as a doctor and every day we'd see really young people coming into the emergency department with lifestyle-related illnesses such as, you know, diabetes and heart attacks. And then in the same breath, I would look out the window of the hospital in Port Hedland and I would see kids kicking around a tin can and a dusty oval. And I just... the genesis of the two came together in my mind and I really thought there's something we can do about this. So I thought by providing access to recycled sports equipment and health information and education, we could actually improve the health of some of our more vulnerable populations here in Australia.
Inevitably, when I hear a great idea which is turned into something really important, my first question is, how did you transition from that moment looking out a window to actually gathering gear together and putting a program together that would aid kids stay healthy?
Let me just say, it's been a very big learning curve.
I'll bet.
And there's been lots of late nights and conversations and emails. So essentially, I phoned up four friends and just said, hey, you know, I've got this idea. Are you on board? And thankfully they all said yes. So we went and we moved back to Perth. We set up a couple of collection bins around sports clubs and contacted schools, and the response was overwhelming. We actually got about 800 items of equipment and we patched it into a boot of a car and then did a number of road trips that essentially took us all the way from Albany in the southern coast of Western Australia up to Kununurra, which is the very northern part of Western Australia. It was about 3,500 kilometres, and as we went, we'd touch base with a lot of communities and schools and people we knew, and we said, hey, you know, we're coming up, do you need any equipment? And some of them said yes, so we actually had a boot with things like mini trampolines and dumbbells all flying around, and gradually the boot got lighter as we donated it on the way up, and we realised that actually, not only just donating equipment, we ended up running sport and fitness and health and wellness programs, and we realised that there was actually something in this. The communities had so much fun and we were finding that we were contributing and people were really responding that we thought, why don't we give it a shot? So we formed a committee and went from there.
And then you designed something other than an ad hoc program and a couple of collection bins.
Basically, yes. But I mean, you know, I still draw back to those roots and I still think of all the late nights I drove around Perth with all this gear, and It's a bit similar now, but the fundamental things about what we do are still the same, yes.
I can just imagine you being pulled over, John, you know, in the wee small hours, and the cop looking in the boot of your car and going, seriously, dumbest thief ever.
Yeah, I know. Why would he be stealing all this old gear?
Okay, so let's talk about the outcomes of Fair Game. How long was that first thought and that first 3,500K road trip ago?
Well, The whole process took about a year,
okay.
But that was now coming up to 4 years ago. So since that time, we've managed to attract a whole fantastic group of what we call Fair Gamers, who are our committee. We don't have a board structure. We're actually all youth-led, all volunteer yet, so we're entirely voluntary, and we've got a lot of people on board who are, you know, teachers and doctors and nurses and lawyers and people who are very interested in helping out. So we've now got a committee of about 20 people and everyone is responsible either for a program or a region. So all of our three core programs have been developed. We've got lots of training materials and we've been working with a lot of partners to ensure that what we do deliver is never in isolation. It's always congruent with the messages that other people are portraying to the community. And then we do training for volunteer Fair Gamers primarily in Perth each year. We've just trained 32 new young people between the ages of about 16 and 30 who are going to help us deliver our programs throughout the year throughout Western Australia.
And are the Roots still in second-hand sporting gear?
The Roots still are. So to date this year, I was doing some of the work on the Excel spreadsheet last night, and we've actually already donated 934 items within the first 2 months of 2014, so I'm really pleased with that.
Wow, just in a couple of months. That is awesome.
And they've gone everywhere from the Kimberley to Sudanese football teams here in Perth. So they are used, and I think a key component of it is it captures people's imagination, because not only can they personally contribute, but when they sign up to our newsletter, they can actually see, maybe see their basketball, you know, being played again in a remote outback community that doesn't even have a shot. So it's a really lovely initiative.
Given that it's a fairly fresh program, are you able even to get anecdotal feedback on the long-term changes that have been brought about in people's lives?
I can't give you any, you know, definite facts at the point in time in terms of things like presentations to hospitals and clinics, but what we are trying to do is reduce the amount of diseases like otitis media and your eye and ear infections and skin infections through using sport. And at the end of our sessions, we have a healthy community packs, which involve, you know, alcohol hand gel and Band-Aids. So we teach kids how to wash their hands and the importance of foot hygiene, and then therefore, the equipment is kind of becoming a tool to reinforce messages that the community health organisations are giving. So our long-term strategy is to reduce clinic health presentations, to improve the social and cultural capital of communities, and then to also improve the long-term lifestyle-related illnesses like diabetes and heart disease.
Now, you're no stranger to this sense of us and community. You've spent a fair amount of time working overseas exploring other ways to help locals there, haven't you?
I have, yeah, over a number of years, and especially in my student years and maybe a little bit after graduation, I've been to quite a few places, and I've certainly enjoyed those experiences and understanding how different communities work across the world as well.
You worked in Washington, D.C. in disaster management.
Yeah, so I did a master's in tropical medicine and public health through Townsville, through university there, and as a result, I did a few months internship in Washington, D.C., and for me, that was a huge learning curve because it's very foreign to us, understanding about volcanoes in Guatemala and floods and leptospirosis outbreaks in Colombia. So our role was to synthesize information and then portray that and get our health advice to agencies involved in disasters.
That sounds like a bit of a desk job. How satisfying was that, being so remote from the clinical coalface, so to speak?
So that was pretty rewarding for me in terms of understanding how health systems worked. And to be completely honest, it was a bit of a penny drop moment in my life, because at that stage I was considering going and pursuing a career in upper level sort of public health.
Okay.
And I realised at that point that whilst this is where I want to be, you know, maybe in 10 to 15 years, I probably needed a bit more of a deep understanding about how clinically these diseases and these processes affect people. And so after doing my internship, I actually made the decision to return to Australia and pursue a clinical career in emergency and sort of what we call being a rural generalist, where you're a clinician. And then after getting enough experience, I do hope to go back into that global health leadership.
Listening to you speak and the passion with which you do it, it's no surprise that you're a Young Australian of the Year nominee. What advice do you give others, perhaps in the latter stages of high school or considering their tertiary education options, about what comes next in life?
Yeah, so I think it's a big journey. And everyone goes on a number of journeys and challenges through their life. And I think being clear and understanding who you are and what motivates you is really important. For me, that took a number of years of volunteering and working and a number of sort of educational opportunities. And I finally understood that for me, I'm motivated by healthy community development and a sense of change and helping out other people. So I think understanding who you are is a really important thing. I would also tell people to try and be clear exactly about what you're trying to achieve. So having a definite plan, and obviously being flexible in that approach, but having a definite plan working on a general theme. I think daring to dream is something that's really important, especially for some of our young people. We're having these big dreams and not giving up on them is something that will help motivate you through. And I know that I've certainly had these dreams that I've been so lucky to turn into reality. Then if I was to give some further advice, I'd say surround yourself with like-minded people, because one of the things that I found is being closely associated with other people who are so positive and so passionate has really helped me and supported me, creating my own peer networks as well. And then the final thing I think I would say is a focus on mindfulness is really important. So like what I like to call the 25th hour in the day, people often ask me, you know, how do you get it all done?
Yeah.
And I think things like meditation, but also employing those techniques into everything you do. So when you are having a meeting, or when you are, you know, working, or when you're studying, being entirely focused and mindful on the job, allows you to really achieve more and live every moment like it is supposed to be lived and not always thinking about other priorities.
John, it's been a pleasure to speak with you, and congratulations on Fair Game. Fairgamewa.org if you'd like to find out more about John's program. What's next for you?
Yeah, so my next big goal this year is I'm looking at creating a reconciliation program that looks at the role of local language and history in identity. So this is something that I've become quite passionate about, exploring, you know, Indigenous language and culture through Fair Game. So this year is something I'd like to work on. And then the other thing I really want to work on this year is actually getting the time to go back into sport myself, because paradoxically, running a sports organisation, you never have time in the evenings to go and play soccer or go and play volleyball. So this year I am making an effort to actually become a member of another local sports team and just try something new myself.
John, thanks for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.